Welcome back to Community Connections, and we've had a, as we always do, we change every hour. We like to change the themes and the people. So I have with me now Catherine from Stable One, and I should just mention, because I know Catherine was only running a couple of minutes late, she did excellent, but Belinda had the same problem. If you're going through Coldstream, either way, allow a lot of time because they are doing roadworks. I copped it coming up this morning, and I was lucky enough, it probably only added 10 minutes to me, but some of these people, like Belinda, sat in the one spot for 10 minutes without moving. So if you're coming through Coldstream, either way, allow plenty of time or find another way around. But anyway, Catherine, first of all, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, you're with a group called Stable One, and we want to talk about Stable One. So first of all, I want to go back because we had you in, I think, mid-year last year, and you were about to start, I don't quite know how to, well, the words, the actual words, well, you were opening up some church halls or one church hall for the homeless to sleep in the night. I'm right, aren't I?
It was actually three venues, but that's,
right.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure whether it was one or more.
Yeah.
Righto. So the first thing is we want to know, how did that go?
Yeah, look, we had a really great shelter season last year.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter. That's what Stable One facilitates in partnership with seven different churches.
But this was the first year you tried that, was it? Was I wrong or were I wrong?
No. So we've been going since 2017. We had a bit of a break during COVID and the year after COVID. But, yeah, so this was... I lose track of how many, but certainly we've been doing it for a while now, and we've got some really great partnerships with local churches to do that.
Yep.
As I said before, we use three of the venues.
Yep.
Not all churches have venues because, of course, church is the people, not a building, so not all of them have a building to use, but...
And they've got to have showers and things like that.
Yeah, a couple of the venues have showers.
Yep.
Not every single one, but yeah, we certainly can offer showers at least five of the seven nights, which is really good.
Now, you only run this during winter, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So we don't have enough volunteers or resources to run it all year round. So, you know, when we were initially deciding on, you know, how we go about impacting the homelessness space and providing relief, we of course thought, well, winter, it's the most horrible time to be in Melbourne.
I mean, obviously on some hot nights, it's nowhere near as bad as when you're out freezing cold, obviously,
that's right.
You would think.
Yeah.
So obviously you're going to do it again this year?
Yes, yes, we very much plan to do that.
Yeah. So out of the, well, we'll say with the three churches or the three halls that you use, did you find that over that period, those months, they were just the same people, or did you find some people would come for a couple of nights and then move on?
Yeah, so there is a little bit of turnover. Sometimes we'll have, you know, some people that come for one or two nights. I think, you know, if we're looking at the world of the homeless, it's very hard for people to come in. It's very quite confronting to be suddenly there's a whole heap of people there and they know why you're there, and that's actually can be quite, you know, shameful and all of those things. And so not everyone copes with being in the shelter context, but then there's other people who absolutely thrive and will stay, you know, a couple of weeks, potentially even nearly the whole 3 months, depending on their circumstance. So obviously, a great thing is if they manage to find affordable accommodation while they're with us.
Absolutely.
And we can help them in
that process. Seems to be getting harder and harder to get that, doesn't it?
It is, yes.
So how do you get the people? Or how do the people know? Is it just word of mouth? Or are they referred to you by an age, like a group? Or how do you actually find the people themselves?
Yeah, so we work really closely with Anchor Community Care.
I do a lot with Anchor.
I know you've had Heidi on before.
Yeah,
So we love Anchor. We have such a great, I'm going to say, friendship with them.
Yeah.
So they are obviously touch.
I only want to change for half a second.
Yeah.
Did you see that Heidi, who's the CEO down there, is going to do some great swim down in Tasmania.
I saw that on social media. Yeah, I thought that's so amazing.
I hope you go well. And in fact, I'm interviewing her in a couple of weeks, so it'll be great to hear about it.
Yeah.
All right, so sorry.
When you
mentioned Heidi at Anchor.
Yeah, no. So we work really closely with them. They very much know who we are, what we can do, and what we can't do. So obviously, our organisation runs because of volunteers. And volunteers, you know, we train them, but of course they're not professionals. So there are limitations on who we can actually have. So our guests do go through an assessment process. And that assessment, essentially, it's, you know, having managed mental health and the ability to abstain from drugs and alcohol while they're in the shelter.
Because do you find, and I know I was talking to the Salvation Army once, and they reckon that they do know of people, but they won't go into the shelter because obviously one of the things that the Salvos say is, well, we don't allow alcohol and we won't allow you to do any drugs. And some people say, I'd rather stay on the streets.
And I can totally appreciate it. Yeah, it's very sad, but I can totally appreciate that because addiction is a vicious cycle.
Yep.
And I think, you know, over the years, our volunteers and myself, you know, I would say I've learnt so much about addiction, drug dependency, all of those things. Yep. And when you understand how it actually works and what's going on, gee, it reduces your judgment for people. We'd love to help everyone, but we just can't.
Well, your resources are limited too, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, so Anchor, in this case, generally send them out over to you.
Yeah.
And then from then on you assess them as well?
No. So Anchor does assessments for us.
Yep.
So if they say, yep, there's a new guest coming, and then we welcome them from there and look after them. So.
All right. So I know you've told me a bit about this, but we also have new listeners as well.
Mm.
So, all right, when do you start?
Yeah, so we open on the 1st of June. Very first day of winter.
Right, so the 1st of June, Anchor say to you, pardon me, I've got three people or however many people rock up.
Mm.
So what happens when they rock up? They rock up the first night, they don't know anyone.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah, so it can be different depending on whether a guest has a car, because sometimes they will have a car. In that case, they drive themselves to the particular church location.
Yep.
Otherwise, we have a minibus that picks them up. So the Manevelin Christian Reformed Church very generously give us the use of their minibus. So we have a central pickup point that we pick up our guests.
Yep.
There will be contact made by our welfare coordinator, which that was a great addition to our program last year, to have a welfare coordinator. And look, there's volunteers at the shelter. We have a venue coordinator each night and then multiple volunteers. And their role essentially is to create that welcoming space. Not a space where, you know, everyone has to talk to you all at once or anything like that. We appreciate that. To get to a place where they're coming into a shelter, you know, they've gone through some really tough times, so they're given space to rest and relax.
Right. So when they come in, what do these volunteers do? Apart from saying, you know, welcome and all that, do they then talk about their addiction or their situation or what happens?
That's totally up to each guest. So you know, the volunteers before the guests arrive will help set up the beds and there'll be some people cooking as well.
Yep.
We have a meal around the table together with everybody, but it's absolutely totally up to the guests as to how much they want to chat, how much they want to engage.
Yep.
I will also say, you know, although, excuse me, we are a faith-based organisation.
Yep.
There is no expectation to, you know, talk about God stuff.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because some people would say, I'm a bit worried about, you know, that they're going to bash, hit me over the head about religion. Mm. Not that I'm against that, but that's not the sort of people that you want. All right, so do you have people there all night, apart from we know the guests are there all night, but do you have sort of somebody there or a few people all night with the guests?
Yep, they are what I call our gold star volunteers, the ones that come in and are willing to stay awake all night. And that's just essentially to make sure that the shelter stays a safe place for everyone.
Yep.
They're just, you know, just making sure. So we have volunteers that you know, if they're younger and they're used to pulling an all-nighter for study, they can come in and they can study. Or, you know, we have older people who sometimes have trouble sleeping and they'll bring in their knitting or some sort of a craft activity and just do that overnight. And to be able, for them to be able to do that in order for us to remain open and have guests who would otherwise be literally sleeping outside is an incredible thing.
Absolutely. Mm. We've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Catherine, I read in the paper the other day something about, are you amalgamating with another group or something? There was your photo and was in one of the local papers. Either late last year or early this year.
Okay. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Sorry.
Well, had your photo and two other people.
Okay. Maybe it was just celebrating our relationship with Anchor, maybe?
No, Heidi wasn't there. No.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I can't provide more insight on that one.
We'll find out. All right. So the first thing I've got to ask you, are you always looking for volunteers to help?
Yes. I probably can't say that more clearly. Look, when we first started several years ago, our volunteer numbers for in particular the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter were sort of up at, 180, 190.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah, and a lot of people never went back.
I know. So we're certainly not the only organisation in that situation. But, COVID really had an impact on volunteering levels.
Oh, it has everywhere.
Yeah, for a lot. So, and look, we're getting there. We did, like I said before, take a pause for the year after COVID, so 2022. We didn't run a shelter because there just wasn't enough. People hadn't recovered enough, really. So 2023, we started again, and we're floating around, last year we had 112 volunteers, which is great, but to comfortably run it, we really need about 150.
So if a person listening today, because we've got retired people, we've got all sorts of people listening, what sort of qualifications are you looking for in the volunteers? Just two legs and two arms, or there are other qualifications?
Oh, look, two legs and two arms are generally, you know, that's a great asset to have. if you're missing one, we can probably find a place as well.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have working with children's checks, so that's, you know, because that's essentially mandatory. Working with vulnerable people.
Yep.
Just a heart to help, really, and to be open to understanding what we're doing together.
Yep.
Because, like I said before, you know, the world of the homeless is so different, often from the little bubbles of kind of privilege that most of us, you know, some of us live in.
Agree with that.
Any person, and I will say too that our volunteers that come, they love volunteering because they know that by themselves they can't make much of a difference, especially for homelessness, because the problem is so
huge.
Big. So to be able to partner in this way is just so good. So whether you're, like you said, retired, older, like a lot of our volunteers are in their 70s, and it's just wonderful because our guests, you know, a lot of people say, oh, is it safe? But actually our guests really respect the fact that there's older people there caring for them.
Oh, yeah.
There's something really beautiful about that.
What sort of age group do you get? No, forget about the volunteers now. In the actual people that come into your home, into the places at night.
Yeah. It totally ranges. So we say that we take 25 years old plus.
Yep.
But I mean, last year we had a gentleman in his late 60s. Who, in fact, had been 40 years homeless.
40 years?
40 years homeless. Super traumatic life, you know, growing up.
Yep.
And through our work last year, he stayed for, I don't actually know how long off the top of my head, but many, many weeks.
Yep.
And through the really good work of our welfare coordinator, we actually managed to advocate for him in the medical space, and he's now in supported residential accommodation. So that was a huge win from last year. But he was nearly 70.
You would wonder what sort of story. It would be mainly mental health that would surely keep him out of home.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that sort of stuff comes from early childhood trauma. Yep. So that's where I think, you know, when we have volunteers that can understand that if they walked a mile in the shoes of the people that we're caring for, that maybe they wouldn't make such different decisions, you know. Like it's really important that we withhold judgment from, you know, judging people for the decisions that we think, oh, you know, shouldn't be making that choice.
Shouldn't do that.
But if you had that experience of trauma growing up, then... Yep. You know.
The other question I've got to ask you, and we shouldn't have to ask, but I will, because if there are people listening, does a person have to have a Christian base as a volunteer?
No, not at all. So although we are, like I said, a faith-based organisation, we partner with churches.
Yep.
A lot of our volunteers are from churches, but also there's a fair big percentage that are just from the community aren't necessarily part of a church, but see the good work. And because, as I mentioned, you know, it's not a program where the most kind of structured Christian thing, apart from showing love to people, is that we say grace, you know, before a meal, and that's kind of it. So there's no expectation there.
I've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. Catherine, I knew I'd seen your smiling face in the paper, and luckily I still had it in the car, so I went and got it. But it's not about a... I thought you were expanding by getting with another group, but in fact, what you're trying to do as a group is to expand in other parts of Melbourne, isn't it?
Well, interstate as well. So I think the amalgamation actually is affiliation, and that's what would have triggered more. I'd love to explain about that. So we facilitate the Winter Shelter Network as well. So essentially, what happened was in the beginning, we started the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter, and other people in other communities went, "Oh, how can we do that too? That's amazing." So since we started in 2017, we've helped several other shelters become established.
Right.
Both here in Melbourne and also regional Victoria. And last year, that's what was noted in the paper, we announced a new affiliate on the Sunshine Coast. So that makes three in Queensland now.
And I see here that you've got Bundoora, Mildura, Bunbury, it's in the state, Warrigal.
So, yeah, we had interested parties from those areas. They were at the conference. The ones that have actually affiliated in the last 12 months, we call them the busy bees, because there was Benalla, Bendigo and Bass Coast all signed up within a close period of time early last year. We had Gympie as well in Queensland and then the Sunshine Coast. So Nambour, they signed up as well.
And where's the one on the Bass Coast?
The Bass Coast. So it's on Phillip Island at the moment. Really hoping to expand a little bit from there, because the homelessness issue in Wonthaggi is really quite acute.
Very big.
So, but it's a privilege to be able to help other churches in other communities do what we're doing.
Now, one thing, and I want to talk about in a minute because I've got to take a quick break, is that the churches fund this group, isn't it? Like, there's no government funding for it?
No, so no government funding as such. The beauty of the program is it doesn't actually cost a whole lot.
But someone's got to buy the food.
So each church, so say for instance in the Yarra Valley, we've got seven partner churches.
Yep.
Each church takes responsibility for the food costs for one night a week. So it's, they take responsibility for that.
But hang on. So let me just go, but you just said seven churches, that's seven nights a week. But I thought you said before that it runs five nights a week.
So we run seven nights a week.
Yep.
We use three venues. So that was the critical distinction between the church being a group of people.
Yep.
Some of those churches have buildings that we utilise.
Right.
So you might get one church group hosting out of another church building, which that in itself is beautiful because it's cross-denominational. Yeah. We're all working together. It's really great.
Yeah, that's terrific. So I guess you're always looking for donations too.
Absolutely.
So when it gets about 10 to 3, if people like to have their notepads ready and a pencil, Catherine will tell you how that you can find out more about Stable One. Also, you may want to volunteer. I know there are a lot of people out that would like to volunteer, and we'll talk about that in one moment.
Take your life.
that was Creedence Clearwater and Bad Mood Rising. Just a quick reminder, I'll be here on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon between 12 and 3 and we'll be playing all that sort of music. And then, of course, between 6 and 8 will be the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. So plenty of great music coming up here on a Sunday afternoon and evening. And then, of course, Greg Carrick will be on with Have a Little Faith. And I should mention Greg will be here at 3 o'clock this afternoon with the Oz Indie Show. Always a great show. And, yeah, he will be here between 3 and 5 o'clock. Anyway, I'm talking to Catherine from Stable One, and we'd be talking about this group of, or Stable One, with, that provides sleeping facilities for the homeless in the Yarra Valley, and well, in other groups now, but we're mainly talking about this area. And it's a great way. It gets the gets people out of freezing where they'd be freezing just sleeping outside, and you know it is a terrible situation. With the volunteers, they're mainly there just to, I guess, buddy up with people and whatever they do. How often would a volunteer work? Do you want them to work two nights a week, three nights a week, one night a week, or what do you look for?
Well, the beauty of the Winter Shelter program is that volunteers can sign up and do as much or as little as they want. So Sometimes we'll have people that go, yep, I want to do every Monday night. Fantastic. Sometimes, you know, people might think, oh, well, I like to go away in winter. We have a lot of grey nomads going away over winter. So, you know, they might be saying, oh, I'm around for June, so I'll do a few shifts in June and then, you know, I'm off on my adventure. So it doesn't matter. You can come and do one or multiple.
So with the volunteers, like when they sign on, do they sign on all night? I mean, what I'm thinking about, like, 8 o'clock, there's going to be a lot more movement than what there is 2 o'clock in the morning. So do the volunteers all stay the night, or do you have some volunteers that come until midnight and then go home?
Yeah, so we do it in shifts. So we have like a cooking shift. So that's, you know, in the evening preparing the meal, and once dinner's done, they go home.
Yep.
We also have an evening shift, which is there, you know, for the whole evening until 11 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And then we have an overnight shift until 6 a.m. in the morning, and then a morning shift. So you can sort of sign up. I know some people are early birds. Yep. I'm not one of them. And some people are night owls. So you can do it as to how it suits you.
So some of these people don't necessarily start at 6 o'clock at night and go through till the early hours the next morning, do they?
Oh, no, yeah. We definitely separate that. We, you know, a high priority for us is caring for our volunteers. So we don't want to overtax them.
Well, you want them to come back too, don't you?
Yes.
So when I'm just trying to work out, some of these volunteers don't need any experience at all. When you talk about the cooking shift, like you'd need somebody who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and we can go through that. We do a lot of training too for our volunteers, so we have training in late May. So people sort of know what to expect. If someone's cooking, obviously, we go through that with them. There's different facilities at different churches, as you can imagine. Yep. So, yeah, it's all trained and planned.
All right. So you've raised the training. How much training do you give them? Like, is it one night and it's all over, or is it over a few weeks, or how much training do you... And I know a lot of it will be picked up on when they're actually doing a shift.
Yeah, definitely. So before winter starts, we have two big group training sessions, and you can check our social media. I put those dates out recently if you'd like to check our social media on Facebook or Instagram. We have two big group sessions, so one of them's on like a weeknight and one of them's on a Saturday morning, and you choose which one you go to. Yep. We then also have some venue orientation. So you can imagine, you know, it's better if volunteers sort of know the layout of the venue, where everything is, how it works, bit of practical setup. This is how you set up a stretcher bed and, you know, all those sorts of things. So we have, we like our volunteers to attend at least one of them, depending on what venue that they're planning on working at. And then we do have, I think you hit on a critical point there, is there's a lot of on-the-job training as well, yeah. because as you go, you can sort of pick up a lot during the sessions beforehand, but yeah. then when it's put into practice, you can have more questions.
It can be a lot different.
So we have a mid-shelter check-in that's optional, but yeah. Last year it was really great. We did it in a way that was just come if you want. We sat it in a big circle and just kind of brought up things. You know, yeah. people had questions or concerns, and we were just able to chat through them.
Because the worst thing with a volunteer, you put them in a situation that they can't cope with, and then all of a sudden they lose a bit of interest too, don't they?
Yeah, and the support is really good. We employ an operations coordinator and a welfare coordinator. So, yeah. you know, we've got a really good executive team that, you know, if there's something that happens that makes a volunteer uncomfortable, we talk that through. There's a lot of debriefing. So that's really important. We want to care for our volunteers because in the nature of this work, when people say, you know, is it safe? Generally speaking, it is. We very rarely have an incident that is not safe. Yep. Things can come up that, you know, little bits of difficult behaviour or complexities like that. But we find that when our volunteers understand more and we can support them and we can answer questions, you know, it works really well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more. Catherine, do you find that when after the end of the season and you close up and you get back, you know, everything goes back to normal. Do you find that any of your volunteers ever catch up with the people that they've met during that time?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some wonderful, wonderful volunteers who often make those connections. We call our role as volunteers an alongsider role. So it's not a top-down, it's a walking alongside people, and that's a friendship, yeah?
Yep.
So very often we have particular volunteers that will, you know, maintain contact and that friendship, which that's wonderful. We don't want that to stop. Because a lot of people say, you know, what happens after winter? And while we don't have enough resources to provide shelter and the shelter all year round, something we can do is continue to provide connection. And I think that is one of the biggest things that people experiencing homelessness suffer is isolation.
Well, I mean, pardon me, I hear about people sleeping down along the Yarra up around Warburton and places like that.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that it's not real good for their health, I mean, some of them must go days without even talking to a person.
Yeah, I can only imagine that experiencing homelessness means experiencing incredible isolation, which, you know, there's a downward spiral in that if you're not engaging and you're not able to, you know, make connections. It's very hard to get out of it.
A lot of us, you pick up your mobile phone and you talk to someone and, you know, I'll probably talk to someone on the way home tonight on the phone. But a lot of these people, they won't have mobile phones. They haven't got the money to have a mobile phone.
Yeah, no, many do have phones.
Do they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very helpful because then we can contact them and communicate and what have you. So people have a certain allowance from the government.
Yep.
So certainly if you're sort of weighing up, you know, if you don't have enough money to spend on accommodation, that doesn't mean that you can't have other necessities, which actually are really important because,
I agree.
You know, it's all for ID and confirming things and getting things happening.
And having contact with people.
Yeah.
All right. So give us your email, or not so much your email address, but your website and your Facebook page for people to find out more about it, because if people have got a few dollars that they would like to send, I'm sure Catherine and her group would love to have it. And if you're a person sitting at home at the moment that you don't do a lot with your time and you think, hey, this is something I could do, give them a yell. So how are they going to find out about it, Catherine?
Yeah, there's multiple different ways. So if you're on Facebook or Instagram, just look up Stable One. That's O-N-E, not the number one, O-N-E. Yep. And our website is www.stableone, or one word, .org. So there's no AU at the end.
AU.
It's just stableone.org. And you'll be able to see on our website, there's a big donate button. It's orange. And, you know, we appreciate all people, you know, from big amounts to small amounts. There's a lot of work that gets done through Stable One. And although some of our programs don't cost a lot of money, it's the facilitation. So someone has to organise it.
Yep.
And that's essentially what we're doing. Our role is to empower others to do
the
work.
And let's be honest, it does cost money to feed people.
It does.
You know, it does cost money.
Mm.
And I wouldn't undersell that. I mean, the churches can put so much in. But let's be honest, do you hear from any of what they call the working poor these days? Because some people are still working, but they're still not making enough money to cover their expenses.
Yeah, it's a growing trend, I think, you know, with the lack of affordable housing and the increasing cost of living. ANCAR would have better stats on that, but they're certainly seeing that.
Yeah, which is very sad.
Mm.
Once upon a time, if you had a job, and unfortunately, and I know this sounds like I'm categorising people, and I don't mean to do it, but some people, particularly the lady lost a husband and wife, the lady lost a job during COVID, hasn't been able to get it back again.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've gone from two incomes down to one, and you've still got all the same expenses.
Yeah, yep. It's very tragic, and I think, you know, once you enter into the world of being homeless, it can be really hard to get out of it. So
www.stableone.org.
stableone.org.
And that's all one word, stableone.
That's right.
Catherine, it's great to have you in again. We will talk to you again. I'd love to talk to you before it starts again, and then maybe talk to you at the end of next year, at the end of the year, or early this year, like we did, to find out how it went. I wish you well in all your work. I hope you get plenty of donations coming in, because it does cost money. You said you're on Facebook as well, didn't you?
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram.
So, as Stableone.
Yes.
It's time for me to go. Greg will be here at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 with a rock and roll, with the music memories and more, and then between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. I'll also be back next Wednesday. I've got 3 interviews. I know one's Mr. Excited. One will be... I've got 3 interviews, so I'll talk to you then. But thank you for coming in, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.